Welcome to Israel. Why is the Middle East important? We Christians are the Notzrim, according to most Jews today. We are the watchers on the wall. Our purpose as members of the Commonwealth of Israel is to serve and protect God's people. After the formation of the world, God enacted a plan, and that plan began in the Middle East at the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And that plan concludes in that same place. The context of the entirety of God's plan begins and completes in and with Israel. There is no denying that, nor refuting it, if you are a Jew or a Christian, and the anthropological evidence verifies it. For the purposes of this podcast, Israel is both a nation and a people. Welcome back, friends. This is Israel. Why is the Middle East important? And Neil and I, in our last show, we talked about Israel and Lebanon, and we talked about walking the land, and we talked about Tyre and Sidon, and we got into a discussion about sequence of events that are occurring. And I thought, well, let's just continue our discussion, Neil. Let's just keep talking about this. So, Neil, we were talking about the walking on the land. We were talking about, like when God said to Abram, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. Look to the north and the south and the east and the west. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Okay? Get up and walk the land through the length and the breadth, for I will give it to you. So that's a proclamation that God said directly to Abraham, and here we are in the present day, 1948, began a reclamation, right? It began a re-establishment, or the establishment of the kingdom of Israel, as it were, not the kingdom in the sense of military kingdom, but the kingdom, spiritual kingdom of Israel, where God is making all things the way he wants them to be. And Neil, we were just talking a second ago about...
Well, we were talking about specifically Psalm 83,
yes, 83,
and how that lays out specifically that the people that claim they are the Philistines, the region of Gaza, which we're watching that war with mm-hmm. all the pushback and so mm-hmm. on, mm-hmm. that was the region of the five cities of the Philistines. And today the Arabs say, we are those people, we are the Philistines. So it's not God just using some ancient people and area to describe. Wow. He's saying, well, if you say you are, yeah. if you're claiming you are,
if you are
that's
yeah.
who I am against. But in Psalm 83, it also says Philistines with Lebanon. With Lebanon.
It doesn't call it Lebanon in the Bible, though, right?
Well, sometimes it calls it Lebanon.
In Psalm 83, does it call it Lebanon?
It does.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the translation again, but that
yep.
Lebanon is that region, and we have other verses that talk about the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon and so on.
Yes.
Nonetheless, that area
yes.
where Jesus walked, as we said last time, where he went up, that area is part of the region of Israel, the land of promise, the land given to Abraham originally as part of walk the length and breadth. And we don't have any idea how much Abraham walked, but God said, you will walk it. So what we have here again is that idea of the Philistines, Gaza, that region is being destroyed today or taken, reclaimed back, because they've had it since 2005 from Israel. And now we have Hezbollah in Lebanon, also from their puppet masters, Iran, have been given the green light to ramp up the warfare or the resistance, as they call it, against Israel. And that's what Psalm 83 says, with Lebanon, with the Philistines, and that's what we see today.
I'm in it right now, Psalm 83, folks. I'm in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. For they have, verse 5, for they have conspired together with one mind. Against you, Israel, they make a covenant. The tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, and the Hagrites,
Gebal and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre.
Right.
And that's Lebanon, Tyre.
And that's Lebanon, right.
Philistia in the south with the inhabitants of Tyre. So they are, in the Bible, in cahoots, as the saying goes, in a covenant with each other for the destruction of Israel.
That's exactly right. That's the precursor, as we always say. That war is what we're seeing today. And as we left off with the last program, unfortunately, yeah. Israel is heading north,
mm-hmm.
and they're fighting what God said 3,000 years ago or more,
right.
that Lebanon with Philistia, or the Philistines, that's what they appropriate for themselves. They are the Philistines. Together, they're coming, and that's what we see today. That's exactly what happened. So in other words, our Bible, while we can say this was written 3,000 years ago, is more up to date, if you will, than CNN, because it said, you will see this.
And we have talked about Psalm 83 before, and is we did a show called Is This It? And we asked, you know, is it Psalm 83? And it was kind of it, but it wasn't it. But this is what's going on right now. It's becoming more it, okay? It's right. becoming more the thing. And Psalm 83 needs to happen.
And many people are asking that very question.
It needs to happen.
What's Gog Magog from Ezekiel? What's Psalm 83? Are they the same? Are they different?
Yep.
Again, as we've pointed out many times, we think there's separate upheavals, as it were.
And there's going to be a few of them.
And we believe there's more than one.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what we're seeing. And it, again, you have to ask yourself as a believer,
mm-hmm.
not a prover, as we say. We're not provers. We're not knowers. We are believers.
We're note stream.
We're
on the wall. We're looking out.
Right. That's exactly right. We're standing in the gap.
Yes.
We're holding back the entrance, the breach, if you will. The wall's been breached because there's many people against Israel.
Right.
It's been a breach.
Yes.
But we, as the note stream, are holding them back through what? Through prayer and through belief.
Oh my.
Not through knowing, not through leading and knowing and all this, through believing in intercessory prayer that the Lord would see these things that He wrote thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing them occur through this warfare.
And folks, the idea of America as a Christian nation, a notzrim, a land of Christians is really what the point is about America. The land, we are a land of Christians. There's many, many, many of us. And our job is to support. Our job is to defend. Our job is to stand on the wall and pray and seek God on their behalf and to provide physical help when we can as well.
Yes, that's exactly right, and we see that these concepts, as we say, these statements, these were written many different ways throughout. They were written to Abraham first, as we've said. They were written to Moses. They were repeated. To Joshua.
And
Joshua 14:9 specifically says, "The land on which you have set foot will be an inheritance to you and your children forever."
Wait a minute. For how long?
To you and your children forever.
No, come on. It can't be forever.
Forever.
It can't be that.
Yeah. Right. And this is where
I thought that was all over after Israel, Jerusalem was destroyed and Israel and they all dispersed and they all fled the country.
Right.
And that was the end of Israel, wasn't it, Neil? I mean, how can it be forever if it didn't happen? That's not true, Neil.
Well,
we know geopolitically what happened. The Romans conquered them, right? And that's it. But hang on. I'm wrong. There has always been Jews there, always. There's never a time in Gaza when there weren't Jews. In Philistia, there's always been Jews. It's a fact. They've always been occupying that land since Joshua. They're occupying the land since then.
Right. And you have to ask yourself here, too, when you say the land on which you have set foot will be an inheritance to you and your children forever.
Yes.
And the question then becomes, okay, well, where did they set foot? Well, did they set foot in Saudi Arabia?
Oh.
Sounds like the present scholarship is far more heading that Sinai is in Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
and all the
yeah.
petroglyphs, as we've said, throughout the whole area of Saudi Arabia show sandals and footprints. This mm-hmm. is very significant to me.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Sinai? Well, certainly they had to walk through the Sinai, mm. which the Jews once had and gave back to Egypt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Recently. Then
that's
you
right.
have Jordan. Well, they did walk through Jordan. They walked through Moab. And part of the, even in the conquest under Joshua, some of the land allotted to Israel was east of the Jordan River.
Wow.
In Jordan. So
yes.
then you say, well,
yes.
and how about Lebanon? Well,
wow.
Lebanon is called out specifically. Abraham was repeated to Moses, and as it's repeated again to Joshua, it says, I've given you every place where the sole of your foot will tread, just as I promised to Moses.
This is God talking to Joshua.
God repeating
in
the promise.
Joshua,
right.
Chapter 1, verse 3.
Right, and it says, your territory shall extend from the wilderness and Lebanon.
Oh, no.
So God specifically
saying, to the great Euphrates River.
All the land of the Hittites.
All the land of the Hittites and west as far as the great sea.
Right, and that is today what we see with this warfare. It's inflaming again. It's not the way, as you said last time, Jeff, the way we want it, but it is what God is doing. And only a few people are aware that this is God, this is the Jews. Even if it's warfare, even if there's death, and nobody likes death, especially Israel with their sense of
yes.
of the sanctity of life. That's where we get sanctity of life as Christians, because it came as concepts from the Bible, from the Judeo-Christian writings. And that's what Hamas attempted to use against Israel, their love of life. They thought, well, if we maim and kill and hurt a bunch of them, they'll give us so much more in return. So they guessed wrong. Now Hamas wants to go back. I'm going off on a tangent, but now wants to go back to just killing the appropriate number of Jews per year, like maybe, what, 50 or 100 or 200? And that's acceptable, but I guess we overshot when we went 1,500
wow.
or whatever, and we raped and killed and murdered babies and
yeah.
women.
We went beyond our
yeah,
agreement.
We went beyond what was just accepted, and now we'd like to go back, so stop and pause the war. And that's what you have the EU and the U.S. doing right now, putting incredible pressure.
Folks, do you hear what Neil is saying right now? They want them to return back to the way things were, where only an acceptable number of Jews are being killed. There's an acceptable number of Jews that can be killed. It's okay, but not the 1,200 that happened on that one day. Not that. Okay, but the other one is acceptable. It's fine. Just go back to killing, 50 a week or whatever it was.
Yeah, and we'll accept that. And that is what is the outside pressure that we don't ever hear about, because I'm not in the inner room.
Not at all.
I only get to hear what the news gives me or
yeah.
what the news people get
yeah.
when they come out of the room and they're smiling and shaking hands. But and there's all kinds of evidence the EU and the UN and the U.S. has given multiple millions, even billions of dollars,
yes.
which is money, assets, that they are using, meaning that Iran and its proxy armies, Hezbollah included, for warfare against who? Against Israel. And that's what we said last show. If you think that the opposition toward Hamas, which is relatively small,
right.
It was major, the opposition, wait till they go and start claiming Lebanon, and they fight against a real army, a real force with lots of weaponry and well-trained. Oh my goodness, what will be the outrage, and whose fault will it be? It will be Israel's fault.
Mm.
Israel is to blame.
Yeah.
Israel did wrong.
Yeah.
God doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. Right.
If I
right.
even believe in God.
Right. Yeah.
We talked about coming to wrong conclusions.
Yeah.
And Israel is warmongers. That's what they're doing. And just as Hamas overshot, as we said,
yeah.
This last war will be blatant anti-Semitism where wipe them all out. We are, as a society, as a world, we do not like to talk about genocide.
Mm-mm.
Unless it's Israel.
Mm.
They don't deserve to live.
Yeah,
they
well,
don't
we have,
deserve
we
to
have
be.
We have proof of that, don't we? The Holocaust and how many times in the Old Testament was it a threat to happen? We talked about, we're coming up on Purim here, and Esther, right? And
Haman.
Haman. He was an Amalekite. He was a survivor. He didn't get killed when they told him to kill them all. You know, and they were going to eradicate Israel again, okay? It's just, folks, an amazing thing.
Well, I think that is where we're at. That is the application of the feet and the walking and possessing the land, is that God has something in mind, and that is, in these culminating moments of human history, mm-hmm. like we said, the Olivet Discourse, this is the beginning of the end, and we're seeing it. So we shouldn't be surprised, and yet as humans, we are surprised. We're like, this is awful. Well, as we kid with ourselves, and it's to talk to ourselves, cheer up, Neil, Jeff, our audience, it's going to get worse. And we're about to see the worsening happening with Lebanon. And it all focuses on one insignificant dot on the globe. And you have to ask yourself, why is that?
Yeah.
It's insignificant.
Yeah.
And it's called
a postage stamp.
Israel.
Yeah.
It's called Israel.
That's amazing. So that's Jesus was very clear in Matthew 24 that there will be great tribulation. Right? It will be great tribulation during all this. It's going to get worse before Messiah comes.
It's going to be dreadful, a time that's never before seen on the earth. And it's very hard for us to keep our focus, and yet that's what we have to focus on as best as we can as humans, is in spite of this soon-to-be Lebanese war, and there's going to be more, but in spite of that fact, it is above my pay grade, as we say. God is reclaiming. He will restore Israel, not because they've done anything right or they're
not
so great
they're
or he loves them.
Right.
Or he said, no.
Yes.
I'm doing it for my sake. And that's what we as Christians have to say, have to focus on. God, you are doing it for your sake, your good, your reasons. And my pay grade is way too low. And beside, you didn't commission me with any kind of rank to intercede in any way other than for the good of Israel.
So the political scuttlebutt regarding what Israel is doing right now, and maybe, you know, even going towards Lebanon, and this the political scuttlebutt is Netanyahu is trying to save his butt, because he's the one who was asleep at the switch when Hamas attacked Gaza, and he should have, quote-unquote, known, he should have known that it was going to happen, and even the U.S. intelligence didn't see it coming, right? But that's besides the point. But the point is that it's all being spun geopolitically, it's especially politically, that Netanyahu was just trying to save his butt. He's going to go up, he's going to delay peace by going to war with Lebanon to wipe out Hezbollah. He doesn't really need to do that. Yes, he does. He doesn't really need to do that. Yes, he does. Because they're a threat, a direct threat to Israel. Okay? So it's just amazing to me to listen to it politically. Nobody's talking about it biblically. Except us, as far as I know. There might be others. But we're talking about it biblically. We're talking about what the coming of Messiah is about. How does this all fit the coming of Messiah? That's kind of the way where these things must take place, Jesus said in Matthew 24, must take place. He didn't say they will. You know, he said they will, but they must. It's essential.
Yeah, it is exactly what we're looking at today, and some of the concomitant verses that talk about the walking and the reclaiming, It also talks about, last show I said, okay, I'll go out on a limb and I'll go beyond what the scripture specifically says, and I'll give you my 2 cents. And my 2 cents are that when it says to Israel, you will inhabit the waste places or the wasted cities, right? So we have this walking to reclaim, but Jeff, if they reclaim Lebanon, they'll have huge areas. Huge. I mean, they'll have Tyre and Sidon and these old biblical cities. How will they live in them? And that's where I say, I personally believe, and I could be all wet, that many Christians, Notzrim, non-Jews, will also say, I am willing to go there.
To
Not
go.
Just willing, but I will go there for all the difficulties it will be. But there's many places where it talks about Israel, your people. Well, who are your people? Well, we are the mixed multitude.
Yeah.
We are part of the commonwealth.
Right.
And says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. This is Isaiah 58. Mm-hmm. You will restore the old foundations. You will be called the repairer of the breach.
Wow.
You will be called the repairer of the breach. That's what we keep saying. The restorer of streets of dwelling. In other words, you will inhabit these places, and who's going to do that? Israel does not have the manpower, does not have the population to do that.
Lebanon, my understanding of Lebanon economically is it's very poverty stricken. The whole country is poverty stricken. It's not they're below the poverty line in most cases. A lot of people are in Lebanon, so it's the country itself is hurting economically big time. It's not going well for them, and of course, you know, the waste places is where I'm going with this. You say the waste, so it's not what you would call an opportunity to take over Lebanon.
Well, as I've said to you before, I firmly believe, and it's just my personal belief, that and we'll see if I'm a prophet, right?
We'll find out.
Because I certainly don't claim to be.
Yeah.
That Gentiles will be welcomed into Israel if they somehow take an oath or whatever to loyalty or whatever the government has at that time. But just as it will be, maybe you want to go to the north. There's also lands, much land to the east of you know, the Jordanian land, not just the lands of conquest, but far all the way to the Euphrates, whether it's north and all the way south.
Wow.
Well, how far south does it go? Does it go to Saudi Arabia? Many scholars today say that's exactly where Mount Sinai really was.
Or is.
Or is.
Yeah.
And so then you have to say, well, how far does that go? And would I be willing to go there? I'm not saying everybody is obligated to do that if you're a believer, but there are two questions we have to ask ourselves. What does this mean, and what do I do? And some of the obvious questions for the extreme are, maybe you will be called to Israel, but for everybody, for all of us who are called Notzrim, we are called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And thus, not just Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is emblematic, is symbolic of all of greater Israel, great Israel. So even if we can say, well, I saw the thing in the back of my book, the map of the conquest, and it gave this land to one of the tribes and this land, and it cuts it in a piece of pie or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that was just after the conquest, but the promises are far bigger, far larger, far more extreme than just what we can say, well, in the back of my Bible, is a map.
There's a map.
And therefore it corresponds to Israel, and that's it. East or west of the Jordan River. And yet, that's not the case. It's far larger.
Wow.
So what we also have in Ezekiel, by the way, is talking about these cities. It says here, I will cause the cities to be resettled and the ruins to be rebuilt. Well, who's going to inhabit them? Cities that were once ruined, desolate, and destroyed are now fortified and inhabited. And that's where I believe, Jeff, that, again, even if all of the Jews that we know are Jews around the world come back to the land, there still isn't enough to inhabit all of the land, all of the cities, all of the territory, and have boots on the ground, as it were, where they can administer them, but for Notes Ream
but
Christians.
Neil, you have said to me, and I think we've talked about it, we maybe mentioned it on air, but you have talked to me how impressive it is among Christians that there's more and more and more affinity or alignment with Jews. And Israel, you said, is like, wow, they don't get it. Yeah. Why do these Christians care so much about us?
Right. It is the litmus test, the barometer, as they say, that for years there was, in predominant Jewish thought, those are them. They're called Christians. They believe in three gods, and a woman is one of the gods, and blah, blah, blah. Catholic Church.
Sure.
So they didn't care, nor did they parse out the difference. But for our audience, today they are faced with dire need mm-hmm. in Israel, and they're saying, wait, one slice of this pie of Christianity, because we, again, Europe sometimes will say they're Christians too, and blah, blah, blah. They're forced to say, but wait, one slice of this pie is giving us funds, is giving us money, is coming here to volunteer, is coming here to give us works in the soup kitchens, as it were, in the IDF, and they're doing all this background. Who are these people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are at Notes Ream, but they're different. They're a different type.
Mm.
And that's what I'm saying. That type, our audience, let's say, they are the ones that are saying, wait, something's happening here. And it's forcing Israel to say something's happening with the Gentiles.
Yes.
You know, it's not 1933.
No.
We're like we said before, at best, they said, good luck, hope it works out for
you. That's exactly right.
See you later.
See you later.
And yet, it's also happening on the non-Jewish Gentile side, if you will, where they're saying, wait, something's happening in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This just isn't happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
This just
right.
isn't coincidental.
Yes.
Something's happening. And that is a move of God where he's saying, you are my Gentile people. You are my Israelite people. You are going to be one people in my sight. And this reshaking through these wars, unfortunately, is how I'm bringing this to pass.
I will make a people of those who are not my people.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And there's many, many, many discussions that when we look back and we're living with, you know, on the earth for 1,000 years with Jesus, we'll mm-hmm. say, oh, well, that's very clear now.
Yeah.
It's very dark, as Paul said. It's dim. It's dark to see. I can't fully understand it. But sometime in the future, I'll see clearly. And that's exactly what Jesus did after his resurrection. He went to his disciples, and they understood, and they saw far more clearly. And so will we when Jesus comes back and lives with us for 1,000 years. We Gentile believers will also very clearly see the import of Israel.
Stay tuned for a special Hebrew blessing at the end of every episode, including this one. This has been a great discussion. I look forward to how it continues to unfold. As you can tell, Neil and I enjoy talking about the subject as it helps us to get to the root of the matter about God and why Israel and the Middle East are so important. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at our home at podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? That's podbean.com. Israel, why is the Middle East important? And you can find us any place great podcasts can be found. And you can find us on Facebook using the same title. And you can email us at whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. That's whyisthemiddleeastimportant@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear, please invite your friends to the conversation. You know, one thing Neil and I always say to each other is, I don't know. Because it is by having an opinion, yet holding it with an open hand, that we continue to grow. Shalom. See you next time. Wait for the blessing. Wonderful life.
Lechem Shalom.